John's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse 27. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh, yea, now is, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye may find peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation, chapter 3. Reading from verse 14. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In the account that I've read from the Gospel of John, we have the very voice of the Lord Jesus speaking to his own. On the very eve of his journey to Calvary. And we've set before ourselves these few days that we are here at Spruce Lake, relating to these pictures we find in the book of Judges, chapters 3 and 4. And we reminded ourselves that the people sinned and did great evil in the sight of God. And yet when they came to themselves and they cried unto God, that he raised up a deliverer. And there were three really prominent deliverers that we've had before us. In fact, in the last account we had today, there were three individuals that brought about that great victory. But first there was Othniel, and we spent much time talking about Othniel and the type of individual he was in a day of great departure. He was one that did not fall prey to all of the sin that had overtaken the people of God. He was one that was in communion with God. He was one that was being obedient to the word of God, that he could respond to the call, who will go? God raised him up, and he was therefore in a condition where God could use him. And then we've read of Ehud, another wonderful example that when we are weak, That is when he is strong. When the world looks upon us and they see what is apparent weakness in young people who are desiring to go on for the Lord and not to be entangled with the effects of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, and all of the ugliness that is associated with that principle that is in me that says, I want. And what I want, I'm going to do and get, even if it means dishonoring and displeasing God. So there was in that day, in that generation, a young man, Ehud, that God was able to raise up. And then there was another period of rest, 40 years. Some of the older ones had passed on at this point. 40 years had gone. And now there was sin again in the camp of the people. It was against the great enemy, the adversary of our souls, that dragon, that old serpent, the one who was the accuser of the brethren, the one that God is going to deal with in a future day when he is taken hold of and put in that pit for 1,000 years. And then afterwards when he and the false prophet are cast in the lake of fire. But there needed to be someone who was going to respond. And there was Deborah, in dwelling between Ramah and Bethel, under the palm trees, producing fruit in her life, so that God could speak to her and through her, so that she would be an encouragement to young men, to a young man named Barak, that needed to be stirred up. And I want to challenge us again as young people, and as specifically as young men, that God has, through the Apostle Paul in speaking to Timothy, he said to Timothy, commit thou to faithful men the things that had been committed into the hands of Timothy, the Word of God, the teachings of the New Testament. He said to Timothy, identify those who are faithful men. And commit into their hands, entrust into their hands, the Word of God, the truth of the assembly, the truth of the New Testament, that they also may carry on and entrust this body of truth into the hands of other faithful men. Young men, the Spirit of God is trying to stir you up from what we've had before us. Young sisters, there was a Jael who was there in a place of compromise because her husband had gone into an agreement with the adversary of our souls. But she wasn't there because that was her desire. But she was there because it was the activity, the desire of her husband. But she was in the right place, in the right attitude of heart. So that when the enemy came, she had the right tools to be able to be an overcomer. And so we've tied these things together about the secret to being an overcomer, as seen in the examples that have been left for us. But you know, as I sat throughout the discussions today, I said, you know, we want to think about the one who is the overcomer himself. These are pictures and types and shadows in the Old Testament that point to us, to the Lord Jesus, who would say that in the world there will be tribulation. There's going to be difficulties in the world. He said to his disciples that were with him that they believed that he had come from the Father. And we're reminded in the book of Hebrews that no one can come to God unless they first believe that he is. And as I look around this room and have had the privilege of talking to many of you over a period of years in conferences in Grove City, it appears that all are saved and believe that the Lord Jesus has come from the Father. And so the one who is going to the cross to be the overcomer, he says to his own, and he's saying to you and I this evening, you know, tomorrow morning, You're going to head back into the world and that system that we have spoken about. Tomorrow, if not tonight, the flesh may want to raise itself up. Oh, certainly the adversary who goes about like a roaring lion or as an angel of light, you're going to encounter him. So when you're in the world, there will be tribulation. And you know, if all we ever talked about was the world system and how great it is because its influence is seen everywhere. If we only spoke about how horrible the flesh is, the principle that always rises up in me that wants to do these things that I know are not pleasing to God. If we only ever spoke about how great the adversary is, we would leave pretty discouraged. But you know, the Lord puts in the middle of this verse, to be of good cheer. It's not that you or I have the power or the authority to overcome the world, the flesh, or the devil. He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He is the one that we have to look to, young people, because he has overcome, and because we belong to him, we can overcome also. He has given to us the model in the Word of God, what it takes to be an overcomer. And I'd like to suggest to us that the Lord lived the example before us of a man who was obedient his entire life to all that God expected of man. Where man failed on every hand, the Lord Jesus, oh, he was the one who was victorious on every hand. What was lost in the Garden of Eden, everything that was given up by our foreparents, by Adam, the Lord Jesus has recovered all of those things in the work of the cross. He is the one that certainly is on Mount Ephraim. There is the trumpet there that he's able to blow of victory in assembling those who were with him. There's no one like the Lord Jesus. If we want young people in our own personal lives as we assess where we are, and I want to make this point, two points to you and I about how we get from where we are to where we really want to be. One is we have to assess honestly and truthfully before the Lord where we are. Those 8 years, those 18 years, those 20 years were years of hard bondage for the people of God. But they came to themselves and they cried unto the Lord. One day the eye salve that we have in Revelation was applied to their eyes, that their eyes were open. The eyes, not the natural eyes, but the mind that has been blinded and clouded by Satan himself. There was a lifting off of that shroud and saying, you know, we have sinned against God. And I believe that all of Israel, that judgment that Othniel took them through, The assessment under Ehud and certainly under Deborah was that each Israelite, each one of them individually could say that I have sinned before God and to beg mercies of the Lord that he might come down in mercy and lift them out of this place of bondage. Oh Lord, we wanted the world and we got it, but the world is killing us. Oh Lord, I wanted to do my own thing. I thought that the desires of the flesh, that, you know, it would satisfy me. But it has stripped me. Like the man on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, going in the wrong way, away from where God was, and he was stripped of all that he had. Lord, the devil, I thought I could play with him. And the 900 chariots of iron, they weigh heavily upon me. They keep my mind in this enclosure that I can't think straight. And so the first thing, young people, to being an overcomer is assessing where we are right now in our personal lives and confessing, Lord, we have failed. I have failed. It's got to be personal. And when we start there, and the word of God is washed over us to cleanse us, because Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28, 29 tell us that the word of God is used by the Lord to wash us and to cleanse us from this defilement that we pick up, so that he who is the overcomer, the bridegroom, might present to himself, you and I, a glorious church in a day to come, without spot or without wrinkle. If we want to get rid of the spots, if we want to get rid of the wrinkles, if we want to get rid of the things that we've said, it has to be through confession in the presence of the Lord. And then I want to suggest to us that we have shared many, many things these last 2 days. A lot of stuff to take in. And how we're going to get the gain. It's going to be the days and the weeks after this conference to be able to slow down and to meditate upon what has been presented. That's why in the book of Hebrews, the saints are encouraged not to let these things so easily slip from them. We've had a wonderful time. But you know, the character of humans such as we are is that 10 minutes after we're done, it's gone. Because what is in my mind is my priority is some other activity or some other thing. And so the Spirit of God wants to encourage us, you and me, that we don't let these things just go like air from through one ear in the air and out the other. And we have nothing, no time to slow down, to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus, who is the overcomer. So we don't have to be feeling weighed down because the world, the flesh, the devil is so great. We can be of good cheer. So if you have struggled at this point, had a difficult 2016, the Lord is telling you, listen, be of good cheer. Because if you trust in me, if you read the word of God and you obey the word of God, he says you are going to be an overcomer. You know why? Because I, as a man, have overcome the world. And then the verses that I read in the book of Revelation, I thought that it'd be important for us to set the context for where we are today. We looked at the environment, the day in which the children of Israel lived. And we certainly were accurate in saying that there was great failure, great falling away, the mixing in between the enemies of the people of God, taking up their gods, their wives and their daughters and their sons, and their beliefs and their culture, and their food and their language and their names. But what about our day? And Revelation chapter 3 gives us this snapshot of our day. It is the day, it is the Spirit speaking unto the church at Laodicea. And that name means the rights of the people. You see, under the king of Mesopotamia, his rights were known and they were followed out. He was the king. Come drink of the river, of the two rivers in Mesopotamia. King of Moab, come eat and satisfy all of your sensual desires. And Jabin says, hey, come, rationalize things. Reason it out by, as man reasons it out, with his philosophies and his thinking. Come on, let's have that debate. Let us question whether there is, not only if there is a God, question whether what God says is true, but is there even a God? And then you find yourself in this enclosure. What happens in the day that we live in today? And the reason is that the Spirit of God is saying, he said, he is the one who is the Amen. He has the final word. You know why? Because he is the overcomer. He has overcome the world and the wicked one. He is the faithful and true witness. What he says is accurate about us. And he is the beginning of the creation of God. He says, I know your works. You might think that you fool mommy and daddy and whoever else, but he says, I know your works. Thou art neither hot nor cold. You're in that place of compromise. You're in that tent where there's an agreement with the world that, look, you don't trouble me, I don't trouble you. I'll just be kind of this neutral or take some of your things on the edges. And as long as it's not some really horrible sin, we have this kind of agreement, okay? Stuck in the middle. In another portion of scripture, it was with Abram who was between Ai and Bethel. Halfway between the house of God and the rubbish heap. But God wants us to go on to Bethel. He wants us to move from the state of lukewarmness, young people. He wants you and I to be on fire for him. He wants us to have a passion for himself and the things of the Lord. We may have passion for medicine and for architecture and teaching and all kinds of things and sports and whatever. He wants you and I to have a burning passion for him. The one who went through all of the trials and tribulations, the testing that Adam failed at there in that place where the devil accosted him. And on every point, as a man now, he turned the devil to the word of God. And the devil left him for a season. The day of Laodicea. And what is the response in this day? Well, the response for why we are not hot is because you say, I'm rich. I have need of nothing. You know, it's perhaps the reason why the prayer meetings are empty in our assemblies. We don't feel we need anything. In the early church, the prayer meetings were packed. Because there were men like Saul that were running around, killing saints, letters going to Damascus to imprison, standing there when Saul was stoned. The prayer meetings were filled. Peter in prison, praying for him. And while they were praying and having faith, believing that God would free Peter, there's the knock on the door and Peter is there. But we're not at the prayer meetings. As young people, you don't have time. Oh, you know, tonight, it's December. Wow. I think I might be able to, there's a prayer meeting tonight. I think I might be able to make that. December 28th. In January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Have no time because I'm rich. I don't need anything. But the Lord says, you're poor. He says, I am rich. I have need of nothing. He says, but you don't know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Exposed before him. But the Lord who says, be of good cheer, he has the solution for us. The secret to being an overcomer. He says, counsel with me. He brings us into a place where he wants us to know the secret to being an overcomer. Changing this attitude, the way we think, the renewing of our minds away from what the world is saying. The world says drink of these two rivers to be famous and to be wealthy, independent of God, and say, look at what I have built and what I own and the positions I have. Of course I don't need to go to church. Because I don't need anything from God. But he says, with all those things that you see, you're poor, wretched, you're unclothed, you're naked. The only time that we have anything is when it is connected to the one who is the overcomer. So he says, young people, I want to bring you close to me. Let's counsel together. He says, purchase of me, buy of me gold, tried in the fire. Gold that has been purified. Gold that has been tested. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, when he hath tried me with fire, he shall bring me forth as gold. When the fire of God's testing has been applied to my life, the dross, all of the imperfection is taken off of the top. And when that gold cools, what you have is gold that is tried in the fire, proved. It says that thou mayest be rich. White raiment that you may be clothed. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, there are many things that we can put on our physical and natural bodies. But he's giving us something spiritual far greater than anything we could buy in a department store. A white raiment that speaks of Christ, the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. If we want to be overcomers, that's what Othniel understood. The buy of God. To go in for what God was giving. Not what the world was giving. What God was offering. Buy of that. Purchase it of me. Gold that has been tried in the fire. That you may be rich. A white garment. That you stand out because you're clothed in the righteousness of God that is in Christ Jesus. Don't you think that your friends and family and your people at school, your classmates and those at your jobs, don't you think that they're going to be able to see that white garment of the overcomer if you have it on? Don't they going to be able to see the gold that you have purchased that has been tried? Buy of me. Oh, what he's given to us is those things that are eternal. And of eternal value. And he says that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Oh, think of our foreparents. That when they had sinned against God because doubt entered their minds, the disobedience of one man made many sinners. And what did they have to do? Then were their eyes opened. The devil said, you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like God. And their eyes were opened. And it didn't say that they were able to see, you know, well into the galaxies that God had made. They looked at themselves and they saw for the first time that they were unclothed. They were naked, exposed before God as a people who had sinned against him. And then what did they do? Did they confess? No, they said, listen, we're going to make some stuff for ourselves to clothe ourselves up. We don't need what God is going to provide, right? Fig leaves. But God in grace provided clothing for our foreparents. Oh, he asked that we would not to put on this garment, that we would not appear naked. And he says, anoint your eyes that you may see. Let us see. You know, we've got eye problems. Right? We're seeing things from the world's perspective. And I want to challenge us young people to ask the Lord to apply the eye salve that we may see things from God's perspective. So that the things that either we are doing or saying or involved in or seeing or reading or posting or whatever, that we see it from God's perspective. And that we be rid of these things so that the Lord would be glorified. That we would overcome this. And that we would advance to higher ground. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. The chastening of the Lord we've seen upon the people of God in the accounts that we looked at. He says, the reason why I chasten them is because I love them. Why do I love them? He says, because I gave my life for them. There on the cross, he had you and me in mind. And he's not going to allow us just simply to stumble through this life, falling prey to the world and to the flesh and the devil. He says, I'm going to put my hand on you because I love you. And he says, be zealous, therefore. And repent. Because if we repent, then we don't have to have the hand of his chastening upon us. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and will sup with him and he with me. What a wonderful desire of the Lord Jesus. You see, the reason why he's knocking is he has gone outside of all of the foolishness that is inside. And he's coming to individuals' hearts. Your heart, my heart, and he is knocking. He wants to know who's going to open the heart door, that he might come in. He might have these personal moments, these intimate moments with you and me individually. You see, this is not a collective thought. We're going to get to this in this last verse. This is not a collective statement of the Lord. He is looking for individuals, young men, young ladies, with full schedules, college, finishing up high school, career, desires for careers, husbands, wives, all of these things you're looking for. But he's knocking. And maybe why we're not achieving what we are so most, have such a desire for, some of these things are not materializing because we don't hear the knock. And if we hear it, we're not responding to open the door and see the Lord Jesus standing outside and say, Lord, come in. And he says, I want to sup with you. I want to sit down and I want to have this intimate time with you, so that I might tell you and help you the secret of overcoming and how I overcame as a man and how in this day that you might be an overcomer. You see, being an overcomer is not a collective thing, young people, in this dispensation. It is an individual responsibility. I may have friends. I grew up with some wonderful Christian friends in the meeting. And it came to a point where some of you are, where, you know, you were kind of like a group. And wherever you went, the other three or four went, and blah, blah, blah. But you got to this point where we started to make decisions because we were faced with choices. And some chose that and that. And those things were not the things of Christ. And we had to make individual choices because it's no longer this team effort. Come on, Bobby, stay in line. You know, come on, let's keep going. Come on to the meeting. No, it's at this point where God brings us for individual responsibility. And he says to the one who overcomes, he says, I will grant to him to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcome. The great overcomer, the Lord Jesus himself, is saying to you and I want to tell you something. There is going to be blessing here on the earth. But in the day to come, when rewards are given, when I'm on display, I'm going to grant to you as an individual who is the overcomer in this day, in this place upon the earth where I was rejected, I was beaten, I was crucified. He says, I'm going to give to you to come up and sit with me on my throne. What a day of display. I want to ask you, young people, do you want to sit up with him on the throne? Or you want to look at others who were faithful and are sitting with him and say, Lord, I wish I had been more faithful to you. That's the challenge for all of us. Faithfulness in a day of his rejection. I want to be someone who sits with him in his throne. And he says, and I am sat down with my Father in his throne. It says in Hebrews chapter 12 of the Lord Jesus that for the joy that was set before him, the Lord is himself is setting before you and I this great prize, this great compensation, that is to be for each one of us who has a desire to be an overcomer. So when the flesh, when the world, the flesh, and the devil crops its head up against us, think about where you want to sit in that day. If you want to be called an overcomer, if you want to be recognized that you chose the Lord Jesus, that you chose the path of obedience, because that's what is going to get you and I a place next to the one who is the overcomer, who is sat down at the right hand of God. It says he despised the shame. It says that Hebrews 12, that for the joy that was set before him, that he despised the shame. What's the next part? He endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of God. The Spirit of God leaves us with this thought. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God says. It is now up to you and I. You see, those of us that are older, that God has used to lead some of these discussions, it doesn't exempt us from the very same principles, the very same challenges that the Lord is presenting to you. Where do I want to sit? I have an ear. Let me just not be a hearer of the word of God. The Lord said to his disciples, just don't hear what I'm saying. Hearken unto my voice. It means that you're going to do it. And so as we leave, young people, it's been a wonderful time the Lord has brought us to. And he has opened many wonderful, rich things to us. Wonderful examples. But we point you to the one who is the overcomer. He says, in the world you'll have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. He says, I, okay, not Moses, not Joshua, not Ehud, not Othniel. He says, I have overcome the world. And so if we're in him, we can be overcomers as well. The Lord encourage our hearts, young people, to know that we have all the resources in him, the Spirit of God, the wealth of the Word of God that enables us, gives us the power that we can be overcomers. The Lord encourage our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.